Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom of Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Warren Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
Wow, I thought I wasn't going to get up. I thought I was just going to sit there and enjoy a soaking in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Before I start, let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you that you're here today. Amen. And we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, whatever I say comes from you. And Lord, if it's from you, it strikes the chord. Like an arrow hitting its mark. But Lord, if it's of me, may it go in one ear and out of the other. And we give you all the glory in your precious name's sake. Amen. Amen. Church, I always love to start off with a declaration, because whatever I say is going to come from the scripture. And if you don't believe the scripture, we're on a bit of dodgy ground. So if you've got a Bible, I want you to raise it up and copy me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says.
I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
The infallible. Indestructible.
Indestructible.
Word of God.
Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, if we don't believe that, the truths that are in it, we can't appropriate and apply to our lives in everyday life. And there's another confession I love to say, and we could, you know, who we are in Christ, but it's a small one. It just says this. I've been bought for a price. I've been bought for a price. And Jesus loves me. And if I have faith the size of a mustard seed,
I can do immeasurable
things for God.
Things for God.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, they're the truth. The truth is, I am what this says I am.
Yeah.
The truth is, I can do what this says I can do.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you will do greater things than these. And what were those things? Those things were raising the dead. Giving sight to the blind, casting out demons. And if you believe God's word, we're going to do greater things.
Amen.
And let's believe this, church. The world out there needs us to do greater things.
Amen.
We're going to start off with some scripture, because you don't want to listen to me. Is this okay? Is it reverbing a bit? Ooh, it's a small lectern, this. I like a big one to put all my papers on. Am I joking? I ain't got all these sheets. I'm just winding you up. But I do want to give you some scripture. The first scripture is from Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11. We're going to go through quite a few scriptures. I want to pull things together and just give you some revelation. Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word, that it goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I have sent it. That's a powerful bit of scripture. One, we don't have to understand what God does sometimes. You know, sometimes we think we've got to understand everything. You know, God is sovereign. He'll do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, and through some dodgy people sometimes. You know, in the scripture it talks about, God will talk through an ass. And my turn, God talks through a male and female one as well. You know, the scripture, God will talk through anything if someone's a willing vessel. You know, and we've got to be a willing vessel. And you know, having a touch of the Holy Spirit is great. But guess what? Church service starts when we leave the building. It doesn't start when you enter. It leaves when you go. And it leaves when you touch your neighbour. And it leaves when you touch your school teachers and your work colleagues. And that's the power of God. You know, there's that scripture, the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? It means it's at hand. So when we go into the shops, the kingdom of God is at hand. Because we have the authority. We have the inheritance that God, Christ died on the cross. When someone dies, what do you inherit? You inherit because they died. Christians think when we die, we inherit. That's the wrong doctrine, wrong theology. Christ has already died. We inherit everything the scriptures talked about. So when it says we've got the kingdom of God at hand, we've got it at hand. It's our responsibility. Now, sometimes we feel, oh, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner and God can't use me. Well, that's true. I am a dirty, rotten sinner. And God struggles to use me sometimes because I get in the way. But when I say, God, have your way, there's a quote from William Booth. And someone said, what's your secret, William? William Booth was the general of the Salvation Army, did massive of work. And someone said, "What's your secret?" And he said this. I said, "Lord, have your way." That's the secret. And today, church, the way we can impact Scarborough, the way we can impact Yorkshire, this nation and the nations, is to say, "Lord, have your way." With that comes a responsibility. And these are some scriptures that God talks about. In Matthew it says this, and this is what we're called to be. You see, we can't hide our light that God's given us. You know, and the scripture says this. Matthew 5 says this, verse 14 to 18. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." Well, if you do, you're stupid. Yet sometimes we have the best... You know, if you're in sales, if you've got something good, you want to sell it. We've got a marketplace that is unsaved. You know, it's a marketplace that is not saturated. Our economics aren't dictated by the world, but our economics are dictated by God. You know, so we've got a marketplace, and God said, "I died because I love those people." And we've got to have our minds transformed by the Word of God to say, "I'm going to look at people, not as I see them, but as Jesus sees them." Sometimes you need to look in the mirror and not see yourself as you see yourself, but see yourself as Jesus sees yourself. You've got we are the hands and feet of Jesus on planet Earth. And there's a quote I love, and I love to quote secular comments, because guess what? If they're biblical, they're biblical. You know, anything that is good in this on planet Earth has a biblical principle based in it. It's based on God's biblical principles. And one of them says this. It says two quotes. One is from John Maxwell. I love John Maxwell. He's so practical. He says this: "If your life connects in any way with other people, you are an influencer." You are an influencer. We have a choice to either be influenced or to influence. There's no grey area. I'll stand in the middle and I won't influence. Or I'll keep my mouth shut and I won't say anything. There's no grey area, church. You're either an influencer or you're being influenced. And we have an option, there's a choice in that. But guess what? We have the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us, to give us that courage, the grace to step out sometimes. And that's the power of God. The other quick comment I love to say is this. Every contact leaves a trace. That's by Sir Robert Lockhart. Every contact leaves a trace. In the natural, I shake somebody's hand, I've sat on that chair, I've touched a door handle, I've left a trace. I've left a bit of DNA of Warren Evans. I've left a trace, however small, however that word Paul said, tiny. However small, I've left a trace of me. You know, church, what we're supposed to leave is a trace of Jesus. However small, we're supposed to leave a trace of Jesus. With our neighbour, with our work colleague, with our school teachers, with the police, with the shopkeeper. You know, how do we do that? Sometimes that's just smiling. You know, well, that's just not me. Well, guess what? It is you, because you've got a choice. You can either choose not to smile and be a miserable so-and-so, and who wants some of that? Or you can actually say, "I've got Christ in me, something special that you really need." The fragrance of Christ comes out of people's pores. You know, when you meet someone who's happy and alive, you want to rub up against them, because there's something about them. "I want some of that. They're a nice person. I don't mind spending time with that person." And guess what? There's nothing wrong in being nice. Christians should be nice. We should impact our community in a very positive way. So when we rub shoulders with someone, it's not always ramming a Bible down the throat because I've done what I feel right, but it's about having an ear inclined to God's voice and hearing what God says in that situation. And sometimes that might just be smile. Because in smiling, you may earn the right next time you speak to them. You know, the next time you're at the bus stop and you're smiling and they're not, then they say, why are you so happy? It's raining. When someone asks you a question, it then gives you the opportunity to tell them the truth. When you haven't earned the right, i.e. your lifestyle's not proven who Jesus is in your life on one level, I'm not preaching condemnation, I'm just preaching truth. You know, God loves you in His grace. But the reality of the situation is, we're called to walk in it. We're called to be a city on a hill. You know, the rest of that verse says, instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are a light in Scarborough today. And we have an option. We can walk out here and snuffle it out. Or we can walk out here giving God the glory, smiling, having the fragrance of Jesus in our lives and impacting people. And however small that DNA, that contact, that trace you may leave with someone, it's going to have a positive impact. The problem is, church, we go out and I look at people and I think, I don't want what they've got because they're miserable. I don't want it. I don't want what they've got. And if that's what Jesus does to you, the world will say, I don't want it. And what we're supposed to say is, I've got Jesus in me. The fire of God is inside me. He's changed me. He's set me free. I am free from condemnation. I've been set free from my history. Today's a new day. I can step out in faith, declare truth, express truth, be truth for the people on planet Earth. And that's the reality of God's word. Another scripture, just to give you a little bit more foundation, because you don't want to hear me, but you want to hear the word of God, because hearing the word of God increases our faith. It says this, Philippians chapter 2, 15, verse 16. It says this. Oh, gosh, it's warm up here. You're going to have a bottle of water. I'll let you find your scripture. It says this. Children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Church, we have a choice, and it is a choice. We base so much of our life on experience and touchy-feely stuff. And guess what? God created us to be touchy-feely, so there's nothing wrong with being touchy-feely. The reality of the situation is you don't base your choices on how you feel, on the circumstances or your situation. Because the reality of that is your circumstances change, your situation change and your feeling change. Yeah. But the word of God does not change. It's steadfast and it will accomplish everything God's ordained it to accomplish. And all we've got to do is step into it.
Yes.
And guess what? Sometimes that step is the hardest step because I want to know what the next step is. And if we knew what the next step is, we might be too scared to make the first step. Because guess what? When I look at people, I don't see a congregation. I see leaders. I see people who can impact the families. I see people who impact their children, grandparents, family, neighbours. I see people who express and exude with Jesus in love. You know, and when I say every contact leaves a trace, how do we look at people? How do we look at our neighbour? Do we look at him in condemnation, or do we look with a passion that Jesus died on a cross that all may be saved? You know, we can throw some scriptures, many are called and few are chosen, but either God's telling the truth or he's a liar. And God says he desires all be saved. It's not a little club, it's not a little sect, it's not just a minority. God wants the majority. You know, and you've probably heard the stats now. There's more people living on planet Earth right now than ever lived on planet Earth before. So right now the harvest fields are ripe. And that's a challenge to me, how I walk my life. Do I speak to my neighbour? It's easy getting up here and saying this, but guess what? I challenge myself daily with the same things. You know, am I happy? No, not always. Do I choose to smile? Yeah, I do choose to smile. You know, you don't know what's going on in my life. You may say it's easy for you, but you don't know what's going on in my life, and I don't know what's going on in your life. But I do know one thing. If you're saved, you need to make choices, and healthy choices, and stop allowing your circumstance and situation to make your choices for you. You need to say, God, I can't do this. Guess what? God ain't bothered about that. God just says, yeah, I'll help you. I'll enable you. I'll pour you my grace, my love. Oh, you know, we've just been soaking in God's presence. You know, if we go out the same as we came in, what was the point? No, I mean that. What was the point? We can have the most mighty touches of God. And what's the point? The point is God wants to enable us and empower us and encourage us so when we go out, we're not the same as we came in. So when we go out, we're taking this power of the Holy Spirit and we have the courage to smile and say, hiya, God bless you. Welcome, I'm your neighbour. You may want to come round for cheese and biscuits or a barbecue. Or can I just bless you? Or you don't look happy, can I pray for you? And you don't have to lay on hands and shandalala and see him go down in the spirit. Because guess what? There won't be Danny playing drums and all these other people playing keyboards. There'll just be you. And sometimes someone just, guess what, they don't even want the answer to prayer. They just wanted to know that someone cared. You know, there's a people out there who look at God through past experiences and through hurt and through pain. And we are God's hands and feet on planet Earth. I just want to read I love this. It's called A Touch of a Master's Hand by Mary Bell Welsh. It says this, and if you get the revelation of this, this touches you. It says this, 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile and said, what am I big, good folks? Who'll start the bidding? £1. Come on, someone must give me £1. Two. Come on, two. Going for £3. But, no, from the back of the room, a grey old man walked forward. He took hold of the violin, he picked it up, he wiped the dust from the violin. He tightened the loose strings, and he played a melody pure and sweet, as a caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I bid for the old violin? Who'll bid £1,000? Two, three, four. Going, going, gone. And the people cheered. But some of the crowd said, we do not quite understand what changed its worth. Swiftly came the reply, the touch of a master's hand. And many of a man with a life out of tune, battered and scarred with sin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd. Much like the old violin, a mess. Is he going once? Is he going twice? Is he gone? He's almost gone, but the master comes. And the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul that can be changed through the touch of a master's hand. Church, there's many a lives battered and scarred. Many of life. And Jesus has chosen to use you, and he's chosen to use me. And we've got an option. We can say it's worth £1, it's worth two. But in God's eyes, they're priceless. And we need to see people as priceless. And we need to say, God, it's worth the effort. It's worth me stretching my comfort zone. Because when we see people's lives changed, all of a sudden we see their true worth and value. And you know, God looks at you and says, I gave you a plan and purpose. I had a plan and purpose for your life before the foundations of the earth. And guess what? He had a plan and purpose for their lives before the foundations of the earth. And we've been chosen to help people access their destiny in God. You know, and today we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. We can see people in scenes, something that has no value, we can see something priceless. When we speak to something that has no value, it declares it has no value. When you speak to something with value, you declare it has value. Things change in the natural and they change in the spirit. You know, the words, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, are the biggest lie of the enemy. I know more people hurt by words, by parents, by teachers. You're useless, you're worthless, you're stupid. You have no value, you will not do anything. I want to say the church wants to change the book. I want to say you have value, you have worth. I think you're great. I think you can change your community. I think you're an awesome mother. I think you're an awesome father. Sometimes we need to declare not what they are now, but what they are to be. Because that's how God sees them. Going from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And church, it's our responsibility to take hold of the truth that God's given us and declare that revelation into people's lives. So when we see people, we don't see people who have, oh yes, they have baggage. But we don't see the baggage. We see the priceless treasure that Christ has placed within. Amen. I didn't prepare quite a lot because Paul said I might only get 5 minutes. It's a good job because we nearly run out. I just want to quickly go over what we've touched briefly. Amen. Every day is a new day. Yeah. Don't let your past choices dictate your future. Yeah. Who's made bad choices? I've made more than most. But guess what? There's a scripture. Every day is a new day. Yeah. You know, and when I'm looking at my belly button, it ain't a pretty sight. But when my eyes are fixed on Jesus, where does my help come from? When I take my eyes in the natural, when I'm looking at my feet or my belly button, I see circumstances, I see situations, I focus on problems. But now when I raise my eyes and I look to God, I see a glorious God who has a great plan and future for my life, for my family's life, for my kids' life, for my community, for this nation. And guess what? Sometimes the circumstances and situations haven't changed, just where my focus is. And that's the key. We need to change our focus from now to up there on Jesus. The other thing is to remember, if our life connects in any way, and I think we've always already established it does, even if you have no unsaved friends, you get on a bus or you shake someone's hand or you go to the shops, we are influencers. So next time you're at the shop, choose to smile. Choose to bless them. Choose to show a little bit of concern. And it doesn't have to be big. It's the little things. Sow that seed. Water that seed. Because someone else may have the opportunity later to speak truth into that situation. Declare truth. Well, there was something about that other guy. I don't know what it is. Well, oh, he goes to my church. Wow. There's something wrong with you two. It's contagious. I want some of it. I want some of it. I want to be encouraged. I want, you know, the world is saying the economics, it's all downhill now. Tighten your belts. It's all, we're going through a recession. Guess what? There's no recession in God's kingdom. Amen. You know, your finances aren't based on this economic cycle. Your finances are based on who we are in Christ. Because if we've got a plan and purpose to fulfill, as this church will have, and you need finances, it's not on this economic cycle, it's on God's economic cycle. And God's cycle is, hey, I own everything and nothing is impossible. Church, we leave a contact and we serve a holy God and we are called to be holy. And we have a choice to hear God's voice and be obedient or not to. It's as simple as that. And if we fail, we fail. But guess what? Today's a new day. That's the reality of the situation. Maybe God's telling me he's had enough. I'll wrap up. I think that was a hint. Today's a new day, church. Amen. Don't let your past dictate your future. Yes. Choose today to enjoy it. Choose today, you know, and if you get knocked down, that's life. But you've got a choice to get back up. Yes. We don't always have a choice about how we get knocked down. And that's, you know, let's not kid ourselves. You know, so we have some curveballs thrown at us and we get a smack and we go down. Guess what? We don't always have a choice about what hits us. But we do have a choice about getting back up. Yeah. And I want to encourage you. I think you're an awesome set of people. You're blessed because I know so many of you. Not because you know me. But you're blessed because I do know you, because I know what God's doing in your life. Yes. I'm blessed because I love you and I know God loves you. And I'm blessed that Scarborough is going to change. Yes. And that's the whole point. You've got to look at people and say, yes, we are going to see Scarborough change. Yes. We are going to see the Northeast change. We are going to see this nation changed. Yes. And if no one else will do it, I'm willing to step up to the mark. I encourage everyone to step up to the mark and know who you are in Christ and take this nation for Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. That was a good word. Amen. Who's going to step up to the mark? If you're going to step up to the mark and make that choice, why don't you stand up just as a response to that word? Hallelujah. You see, the great thing is what God's doing amongst us. You might have felt like that before, but now you've got the anointing, the power, the Holy Spirit. You've realized what you've got in you, and it's going to work. This is a different time. This is a new season. Hallelujah. You know, there might be before...
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.